We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
We want to discuss preparing ourselves to seek those who are lost, to seek these people who have gone astray. Before we can expect to help the unfaithful, we have to be prepared to do it. And I believe that one reason the task of seeking the lost seems to be such a tremendous undertaking for us so many times in the church is because too little preparation has been done in teaching the faithful to understand their duty to go out and reach those who are astray. And in light of that, maybe we need to stop and think who is faithful and who's not faithful. Because if those we consider faithful are not upholding their duty, then we have to ask, are they really faithful? Now, the goal of the sermon this evening is to help us to prepare ourselves so that we can go and seek and hopefully restore unfaithful Christians. Here's the first point. As we think about preparing ourselves to seek straying Christians, the first thing we need to do to be prepared is we've got to be concerned about the lost. We've got to be concerned about them. You know, oftentimes there are programs in the Lord's church to reach people who are lost, and there'll be personal work programs, and they start with great zeal. And over a period of time, what happens is there's this great promise and this great momentum, but it goes for a very short time, and then later it dies. Brethren, I believe that most of the time, our failure is really due to one thing. Most of the time, our failure is due to a lack of concern for souls. We fail because we just don't care like we ought to. Let me ask you the question. If you really cared, how far would you go to seek and save the lost? You know, the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's how much He cares. The Bible tells us that Christ cares so much that He came and He died. The Bible says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Could the same thing be said about us? We are not willing that any should perish. We have done everything we possibly could to save the lost. The first thing we have got to do to prepare ourselves is to have the proper type of concern for those who are lost. Secondly, as we think about preparing ourselves to seek the lost, we have got to have the right attitude. Now first, we must not approach unfaithful Christians with the look what you've done attitude. You know, chances are he already knows what he's done. If we are like that Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, you remember the one who he's saying a prayer and he's bragging to the Lord about how good he is. And Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like this other man. And he points at this publican and he says, I'm so good and this brother's so sorry. If I go with that attitude, that's the wrong one. I'm not going to restore anybody. Secondly, I can't approach this with the it's none of my business attitude because it is my business. Romans 12 and verse 5 says, we being many are one body in Christ and everyone members one of another. We're the same body, he says, it's my business. Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. That means it's my business. Verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It is my business when a brother goes astray. To play on the words of Cain from Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9, I am my brother's keeper. But you know what sometimes happens? Sometimes there'll be a brother who's unfaithful. Maybe he hasn't come in weeks or months. And a faithful brother will go out to his house. And when he gets there, he has the I'm afraid to talk about it attitude. He may say, well, we've missed you at church. If you need anything, give us a call. And he leaves. Kind of scared to address the situation. Now, we can't approach a brother in a pharisaical, hypocritical attitude. But at the same time, we can't be afraid to address the issue. And he more than likely knows why I'm there. He needs to know that I care. But I can't be afraid to talk about it. I'm not going to restore a brother if I don't talk about it, if I don't make an effort to teach him and to bring him back. Here's the third one. And you got to have this. All three of these go together. I can't be hypocritical or pharisaical. Number two, I can't be afraid to talk about it. Number three, I can't approach him with the I'm not worthy attitude. Some people have the attitude, well, you know, I'm not going to go because I've got my own problems. I've got some imperfections in my life. And so, you know, if I go, I'm just going to be a big hypocrite. And so I'm just not going to do it. Well, if I've got sins in my life, then I need to correct those sins, not sit back and say, I'm just not going to go. I can't let that be an excuse. Now, here's the other thing. I can't be pharisaical. I can't have the it's none of my business attitude. But listen to this. My attitude has got to be one of gentleness and meekness. Brethren, I believe many times that is not the way we have done it. I've got to have an attitude of gentleness and meekness, not haughtiness, not harshness, not a coldness, not I'm doing my duty only. Number two, first, gentleness and meekness. Secondly, I've got to have an attitude of absolute love and concern. Gentleness, meekness, absolute love and concern. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what wins people back. Anything less than that can do great harm. And if I go to a brother and I'm perceived that I'm doing a duty-only action, it's likely not going to be effective. Absolute love and concern. Now, I'm just going to offer an opinion here. But absolute love and concern, I don't think, is best expressed in a letter. I don't think it's best expressed over the telephone. Absolute love and concern is best expressed when I'm sitting there looking him in the eye face to face. What if it was the case that your mother lived in the same town that you do and she's dying of cancer, but you never went over there? Maybe you sent a letter. You just sent a letter and said, "Mom, you know, I love you." Would people believe you love her? Would she believe you love her? You never went over there. Absolute love and concern, I think, is best expressed. They're going to believe it more when you go and you see them and you say, "I care about you." We've got to have gentleness and meekness. Absolute love and concern, because I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt this person or drive them away from the church. Now, Galatians 6 and verse 1 says, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness." But listen to the last part of the verse. "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, he says, I'm going to consider myself. I understand when I go there that I am not beyond sin, and I know that. I'm going to be careful. And I acknowledge that to the person. Absolute love and concern, gentleness and meekness. And number three, I need to have an attitude that is serious and urgent. We can't let this slip from our mind. We need to have an attitude that this is serious and that this is urgent. You know, last week we talked about Jude in verse 23. You remember where he describes Christians who have gone back into sin, and he uses the terminology of snatching them out of the fire, pulling them out of the fire. I got to keep that in my mind. Because here is a brother who's in the fire. Now, if he's in the fire, I'm not going to say, "Well, I'll get to that after Christmas," because he might not be there anymore. He might be dead if he's in the fire. But this is talking about the fires of hell. This is worse. I've got to have an attitude that is serious and that is urgent about this. The time is now. Next, as I think about preparing myself to seek the lost, each one of us needs to understand our duty toward one another and toward God. And if we're going to be prepared to seek the lost, we have to understand it is our responsibility, or better to say, it is my responsibility to go. It's because I see a brother who is going to be lost and I care about him because I've got absolute love and concern for him. And I do it because I care about him and because it is my responsibility. Galatians 6 and verse 1, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." And so that means if you are a faithful Christian, ye which are spiritual, if you are a faithful Christian, this is your responsibility. If you're not a faithful Christian, then you're one who needs to be helped. You need to be restored. And so we're on one side or the other. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says that we're all part of the same body. Now I want you to think about this analogy. Why did the Lord choose to describe His church as a body? Think about how a body operates. Do members of the physical body matter to one another? Why did the Lord use that terminology to describe the church? We understand how a body is. He says the church is a body. And here's a member of the body who's hurting. Here's a member of the body who's lost. That concerns me. I'm concerned about that. And I'm going to go to him with an effort to get him back. The Lord chose the allusion to the body on purpose. And you know, preachers and teachers, I think we've got a special opportunity here, a special responsibility. You know, Paul told Timothy, "Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee." 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Now, what's the point of that? We are hoping to save those who hear us by teaching. And so what that means is when I reach out to a brother who's lost, you know what he really needs? He needs me to care about him, but he needs some teaching. And I need to talk to this brother about his soul. This is serious. And you know, elders have a very serious, a fearful responsibility here. When a brother goes astray, elders ought to be especially concerned, because we're described as sheep. And how are they described? It's the shepherds. We're the sheep and they're the shepherds. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and that give an account for your souls." He's talking about elders. He says on the day of judgment, an elder will give an account not only for his own soul, but also for the flock that he oversees. How would you like to be an elder on the day of judgment and try to explain to the Lord why so many sheep went astray while you were a shepherd? Or better yet, or worse yet, how would you feel when the Lord asked you, "Well, what did you do to get them back?" He would say, "Why didn't you follow the pattern?" You know, Hebrews 10:31 says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And when Christians ignore their responsibility, or elders ignore their responsibility, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. All right, number four, as we think about preparing ourselves to seek the lost. This is obvious, but I think it needs to be said. We need to know how to handle the Word of God if we're going to win souls. You know, when we talk about a carpenter, if I'm going to hire a carpenter to work on my house, he needs to know how to use a hammer and a saw. If I'm going to hire a mechanic to work on my car, he needs to know something about engines. And if we're going to save souls, we need to know something about the tools of the trade. We need to know the Word of God. And we quote verses all the time, like 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And passages like 1 Peter 3:15, where he says, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear." And we oftentimes apply these to non-Christians, to alien Christians. And we say, you've got to know the Word of God if you're going to reach these people. But you know what? When a person becomes a prodigal, when a child of God goes astray, he's in the same condition. He's lost. In fact, he's in a worse condition. He's lost. And I need to know how to handle the Word so as to win this person, so as to teach him and to show him his condition and to talk to him about how serious this is. And I can't be afraid to do it. I've got to do it with gentleness. I've got to do it with fear. I've got to do it with meekness, with absolute love and absolute concern. But I need to sit there face to face and I need to talk to him and let him know how serious this thing is, because I love him and he needs to know it. He needs to know why I'm doing it. You know, certainly we need to understand that we've got to be able to handle the Word of God. What does the Bible say? If the blind lead the blind, if I can't handle the Word of God, what's going to happen? If I want to be equipped to teach people and to reach out to people, I'm going to absorb the Word. I'm going to be here every time the doors are open. When Bible class is here, I'm going to be here. I want to learn it. When we have a sermon, I want to be here. When their group of Christians gets together and studies, I want to be here because I want to know these things. I want to prepare myself. I need to equip myself. And that means spending time with the Word of God. Number five, as I talk about preparing ourselves to seek the lost, we need to set our own house in order. We need to get things straight in our own lives. We can't expect people who are dying to save those who are dead. And in preparing ourselves to seek the lost, we need to start at home. We need to look at our own weaknesses. We need to look for any sin in our own lives that maybe we haven't taken care of, and we need to correct it. Because we need to realize that church members who are unwilling to repent of wrongs in their lives really should be sought instead of being the seekers. And far too often, I believe that congregations have sought to save the lost and restore the straying without looking first at home and looking at problems in their own life. We've got to set our own house in order. How are we going to go reach out to someone who's gone astray and say, "You've done wrong," when we didn't teach them in the first place and we never sought them when they went away? What are they going to say? "I know enough to know that you should have gotten contact with me and reached out to me. It may be good that I start and say, 'Brother, I'm wrong. I should have done this a long time ago, and I'm sorry. I'm trying to be right with the Lord, and I do care about you, and I apologize, and let's talk about this situation.'" Next, as we think about preparing ourselves to seek the lost, we need to recognize the consequences if we fail to do that. We need to understand that the Lord has made us watchmen. And if we fail to do our job, the Lord says the blood of other people will be on our heads. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18, the Lord said, "When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning," the end of the verse says, "his blood will I require at thine hand." Now let me repeat that. If you fail to warn the wicked, his blood will be required at your hand. Is he guilty? Yes. Is he lost? Yes. Will he give an account to God for that? Yes, he will. But so will you. And when elders fail to shepherd the sheep, they will stand guilty in the eyes of God on the day of judgment. And when Christians fail to seek after their brethren, the consequence is we have become unfaithful.